Joining me on Changemakers today is Siobhan Haviland, the Director General of the British Chambers of Commerce. With a mission to help the businesses of the UK to connect, succeed and grow, the Chambers represents more than 50,000 firms and 6 million people across the country. And with it, today's story about the ambition of what it takes to go for growth and connect our trade and commerce with the world. So with a bird's eye view on British business, we took to the rooftops of the Carinthia London, one of the capital's great hotels.
Now, I was very struck by the fact that in your childhood bedroom, you had a motto that was stuck to the wall. Now, not being a sort of particularly excellent French speaker, I'm gonna hand over to you. Share it with us.
I mean, it sounds so slightly ridiculous now, but it said pourquoi pas.
Pourquoi pas.
As in, why not?
Why not,
why
indeed?
Why not?
And so unpack that for us, because I think at the heart of that, it sort of perfectly captures you as one of the most optimistic, positive people I know.
I know, it's when I thought back about it, it sort of struck me that clearly from day one, I was sort of that person who said, right, yeah, let's do it. What's the opportunity? Yes, we can. We can find an answer to that.
Yeah.
And over the years, as a eternally optimistic person, my university friends used to say I had a rose-tinted brain.
A rose-tinted brain?
Not just rose-tinted specs, but a rose-tinted brain. I guess over the years, I felt like people then began to think that was a bit naive. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, because it's funny, isn't it? Because we were talking off camera, is that, you know, to be seen as having a positive mental attitude is one of the things that people around the world would aspire to have. Yeah. But sometimes positivity can be seen as, well, is unrealistic, as you say, naive.
Yeah.
I mean, have you overcome that to turn it into a leadership virtue as opposed to being seen as a leadership weakness?
What I've realised is, actually, you just have to own it.
Yeah.
And I have also come to see that optimism is a massively underrated leadership quality, actually.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Because by being optimistic and having a vision, you bring people with you.
Mm.
You do. And that is an incredible, you know, yes, you've got to have a vision, but you've got to deliver too. And I think optimism does that.
And often it signals the change with an organisation. Optimistic leaders are, I'm just thinking about, and a lot of people were saying when you arrived as Director General of the BCC, is that actually your style was a big part of actually the image of the Chambers changing. And actually, you know, there's a quote in here somewhere actually where I can tell you that somebody wrote of picking out, you know, clothing collections, sort of like positivity. But here we go. This is Money said, some may argue that the BCC has a stuffy image, but the forthright Haviland, whose glamorous shoes match her power suits, could not be further from this. I mean, you've signalled the change, right?
Look, the British Chambers of Commerce, an incredible brand, right?
Yeah.
Heritage brand. It's been around 163 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And as we know, as brand people, that's really important. But people were saying, oh, that's great. So what does it do?
Yeah.
So that bit about relevance and importance and engagement.
And you can't just be a museum piece that's 163 years of history.
Yeah.
You've got to have the next 163 years. Well, look, I mean, we mentioned mottos. I mean, but we are here against this incredible backdrop. I mean, this is the backdrop, by the way, of James Bond, Skyfall. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you'll be James Bond, I'll be M.
Correct.
Mottos. Do you know the James Bond family motto?
No.
The world is not enough. I mean,
ooh,
the world is not enough.
Yeah.
It speaks to ambition, doesn't it? I mean, this hotel, when it was built, was the Carinthia, was the largest inward investment project in London at that time. I suppose it stands as a real testament to the idea that ambition matters, taking risks matters, pursuing opportunity matters. You've seen life on both sides of the fence, from government to business. Let's talk a little bit about that kind of risk and opportunity and what it means to you.
Mm. Yeah, I spent 20 years in business, and during that time I worked for large corporates, but I ran my own business. So, you know, I know what it felt like to worry about paying the salary bills, right?
Yeah.
And through that time, I spent some time getting involved in social impact investing as an angel, and that early business as a force for good story.
And that means something to you, business as a force for good, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My father worked for Unilever for many years, and I grew up part of my time on the Wirral at Port Sunlight. Port Sunlight was a...
Only Siobhan would be growing up in a place called Port Sunlight.
Oh, there we go. Now we know the core of it all. You know, and that was built by Lord Lever Hume. Yeah. He was one of those early believers that it wasn't just about profit. It was about people and it was about place. And he built that community for his workers. And surprise, surprise, he got more out of his workers and his business did better and his communities thrived and his business did better.
You called out Paul Polman as a sort of a person that you admire in terms of somebody who made a difference. I mean, did he carry that through, do you think? Because obviously you had your Unilever experience of working up, of growing up with a dad who worked at Unilever.
You know, Paul was obviously after that time, but Paul, for me, I mean, he was, he showed the world that you could have profit with purpose at a massive level. So the sort of small business, people sort of were like, yeah, that's for small businesses. But actually what Paul did showed over 11 years that he could grow a business by 300% return to investors and number one in sustainability for 11 years in a row.
You made a move though from business into government, worked in a cabinet office, headed up business relations, ran a big initiative for Theresa May called the Inclusive Economy and building a partnership around that. Did you find government a place where you could, well, I mean, clearly you did get things done, but I mean, how easy was it to get things done?
Yeah. Yes, I definitely joined the government in that role because I saw that as business and government working together as a force for good, so for social change. And that team had been set up by David Cameron, actually, to have the voice of business at the heart of government and have that exchange. So that's why I took the job. And immediately I could see that we could bring business in, we could use the incredible assets of large business to help social enterprises grow and the power of government to make that change.
But government
but
has
it
been...
it was hard.
I was going to say,
it
I was really going to come on to what's hard because, you know, careers in government have tested the most optimistic. What was the biggest test for your optimism? Did it ever fail you?
It didn't ever fail me, and that's why I got that thing done and made it happen. But what I did learn is that government has a different risk profile to business, rightly so.
Right.
Because they are dealing with people, with citizens' lives every day, and therefore you've got to cover a lot of risk.
Do you think business understands that? Because I mean,
I don't think
the mitigation of risk, if that's your daily job, it's a very different job than the pursuit of opportunity.
It is, but that's the risk that you're looking at when you're developing policy or when you're delivering universal credit. But there are parts of government that could innovate in a different way, because what government brings is incredible convening power and seed fund.
Yeah.
And what private business brings is the huge assets of people, skills, sometimes money. That wasn't what the Inclusive Economy Partnership was about, but a different set of assets. And together, that is so powerful.
Yeah.
It makes change. It moves the needle.
Yeah.
And with that call to action for the public and private sectors to team up, Siobhan and I took to the streets, Whitehall no less, to talk power, partnership and policy.
So, of course, here we are in Whitehall. I feel, Siobhan, like we're doing the sort of like the Monopoly board tour of London. But we're at, you know, I suppose what people might say, the heart of decision making, the heart of power in the country. Do you think government, I mean, gets business? I mean, this is the question that is perennially asked, is that, you know, do we have a policy making class, a political class that actually gets what people in commerce and the commercial world actually really need?
Look, it's our job to spend time with government being the voice of business. That's what we're about. And that's the job of organisations like the British Chambers of Commerce. And is government listening? Government is listening. You know, I see the Chancellor, I see the PM, we see the Trade and Business Secretary regularly.
But why aren't we doing better then? I mean, if you were saying, if it's as good as we hope it is, there is a bigger question about Britain's productivity, its performance culture, the idea about how government plays as a team to win for the commercial economic spirit of the country.
What I don't think we have that we absolutely need is two things. We need a long-term economic strategy for this country that is built in partnership with government and business. And we don't have that at the moment. And that is what we have been saying to this government. And then we need a structure that delivers that.
Yeah.
And at the moment, we have a government that you know, is quite siloed. You have to go to a lot of places to.
Yeah.
So
I mean, some people say that actually it's because we don't get organised for the long term that you get this almost like this, you know, the glorification of the cult of the amateur. You know, the idea that actually we're a little bit good at some things, but we don't necessarily have the deep drive and expertise to want to get good at something in terms of actually, you know, the collaborative spirit that would need to say, for example, harness the potential of artificial intelligence, for example.
Yeah. So
people need to get it.
I mean, I get that, but actually we do have that expertise in the country. We just have to
But it doesn't play as a team.
Exactly.
Right.
And if you think about where it's worked, so if you look, think about things like the Vaccine Task Force, right?
That works.
We can do this.
Okay.
We
need more Kate Binghams.
We had clear clarity on, you know, what the result looked like. We had government, we had business, and we had a timeline and a delivery plan.
If the opening gambit is the policy landscape, Checkmate is delivering for it a strategy for success. It's a game of chess that Siobhan has spent much of her life preparing for.
Checkmate. Well, congratulations. I mean,
did you know Rachel Reeves is an expert champion, she was junior champion chess player?
Well, maybe we'll get up here on the chessboard for the next episode.
I think she'd like this.
I mean, what kind of persuaded you that actually your time working at the centre of things had, I suppose, run its path, and your chance to therefore go and become an advocate for a cause that you believed in might therefore begin? What was the tipping point, do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'd done 5 years in government. We built the Inclusive Economy Partnership. We'd seen Brexit out. We've done a year of
COVID. I see the knowing smile.
We've done a year of COVID. That was a challenge for business. We've done a year of COVID. You know, this opportunity came along and I thought, wow, you know, big business, small business, government, it feels like an incredible combination to do this job.
Yeah.
And again, amazing brand. Being the voice of British business, the businesses of the UK that every day are driving purpose. They are looking after their people. They're looking after their planet. You know, our chamber members do that every day.
Yeah.
They just don't talk about it much.
I mean, I'm working with you on an initiative called Global Britain, which is one of the reports that the chambers is going to be launching this year. I mean, one of the things that struck me is the kind of how the world sees us, and actually the fact that, you know, we might not necessarily always wake up on the right side of the bed as business leaders or others in terms of thinking about actually how is the reputation of the UK perceived. But actually, a lot of people think the UK is a pretty good place, don't they? I mean, in terms of how do we harness, I suppose, goodwill and turn it into good action and good outcomes?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I said earlier, I travel the country meeting British business, big and small, and I know it's a great place to invest. And sitting here looking at the incredible London skyline, the gateway to the rest of the country.
But it's pretty spectacular. You know,
I would say this, but it is the best. I was traveling home with my 18-year-old son the other day, and he's like, where else do you think I should live in the world? And I was like, the trouble is, my love, is you already live in the best city in the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that the world still sees the UK as a great place to live, a great place to invest. I think we've been challenged by a lack of direction and clarity and a lot of change in our government. We've got a general election coming.
But if you're going to sell something, I mean, usually you've got to feel it. Don't you think we've actually got to sort of have a think about actually that we've got to have that kind of sense of self, that sense of confidence, that sense of, I suppose, relevance to the world that perhaps, you know, we spent quite a lot of time trying to work things out in a post-Brexit world.
Yeah.
I suppose how we get involved in a conversation about how business delivers everything from a 100-year life to the infrastructure and cities of the future through to the, you know, the products and services that will make great lives a possible thing. I mean, who gets that more? Do politicians get that, or do you think business people get it?
Business people definitely get it. You know, if you, like all great brands, you need to think about what you're good at, right? Mm-hmm. What your proposition is. And for us as a country, you know, where we are, our language, our law, all of that good stuff, but also our universities, we're innovators, you know, we make things happen. We are change makers of the country. We're never going to have the, the, you know, Inflation Reduction Act subsidies of the US or the size of the EU, but we have incredible assets as a country, and that's what we need to double down on.
Well, and does that mean we've got to sort of change the mindset from being, I suppose, incumbent and status quo to being more like challenger, disruptor? I mean, do we need a more entrepreneurial nation to sort of, I suppose, get the mojo going?
We need to be more confident. Mm. We need to be confident. We need to be out there talking about how great Britain is.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah,
how great we are.
I got it.
You know, yeah, we do. And actually, when you bring people here and you take them around the country, they see it and feel it.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that your best tip for life is to say yes to every opportunity and see the world as soon as you can. I mean, that does speak to an outlook, doesn't it, in terms of being externally focused and be interested in the world around you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I say to people is as a chamber network, our best kept secret is that we have the 79 British chambers around the world.
Mm.
79. I mean, it's a huge global network.
And as an intelligence network, what does that network sort of tell you in terms of doing your, you know, what's that friend in every port telling the good ship, Britannia?
So when I turn up at the International Chambers of Commerce meetings as the head of the British Chambers, people are delighted to have us there. They're delighted to have us at the table. They want to work with the UK. It's great. It's great to be in this position. It's a huge privilege to do this job around the world.
So do you think that we may have a misunderstanding of how the world sees us and the opportunities that therefore comes from it? Because I think a lot of people worry that we're seen as a bit of a has-been economy, we've had our greatest days are behind us. I mean, that's not usually why inward investors choose locations or why businesses choose places to grow. Usually it's because they think the best days are yet to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, an investment begets investment and, you know, everybody wants to be part of the crowd. We do need, I think, investors and businesses, UK businesses too, need an easier way into government. We perhaps need a bit more of a sort of one front door, as it were, into government, because we have a lot of departments people have to deal with. And I guess what you're saying is we need to come back to what's our pitch, right?
Yeah.
What's our pitch as UK PLC? And the work we're doing in the chamber that you're chair on Global Britain, we're talking about AI and digital, we're talking about green innovation. I mean, we're world leaders in renewables, you know? And we need to get out there and talk about
it. I mean, you know, we've talked about the fact that positivity might be underrated, but I think the idea about pitching things is underrated as well. You know, in terms of, you know, when you look at government, I mean, who has the job of selling things? You know, not just about who has the job of investing cash, but actually how do you make growth happen? Because I think that's at the heart of the work that you're undertaking with the chambers is that businesses want to grow, an economy wants to grow. You've got five challenge areas that you are looking at that are part of that, I suppose, that sort of puzzle.
Yeah.
But I suppose the growth mentality is a really important part of what fuels all of it.
It is. And of course, business leaders, by their very nature, you know, believe in that. And what we need to do is bring that energy in partnership with government, because what you and I like to call radical togetherness.
Yes.
That is what will drive change. I don't know if public-private partnership has gone out of fashion as an expression, but maybe we need to resurrect that in a different way.
Last question then on partnership. I mean, that does speak to this idea of, you know, the togetherness that societies thrive upon. Do you think business has got any lessons on that in terms of actually what it might be able to sort of share with the world in terms of actually how you just pragmatically get things done?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about a business, we've got a focus, it's a P&L, it's what we've got, that three-year plan, that strategy, whatever, and we're all driving towards that. And I think that is where business does things really well. And if you think about the chamber network, right, in a place in your chamber, you have businesses as members, local authorities, or they're very close to, the NHS Trust, the universities. I mean, it's a real community of getting things done in that place, in that space. And we need to build on that and get that done at a national level. And let's bring the talents of all sides of that partnership together.
Siobhan Haviland, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you.